good. I was just thinking about that elk antenna that we're talking about, which is the beam antenna. They make two versions. I think they make a 5-element and a 7-element version. I have the 5-element, and every time I put it up and I'm pointing it, sometimes I don't need a compass anymore, but, compasses, you should always have a compass. But when I have it in the right place, I'm looking at the elements, and if one's bent out of place, I'm really OCD and try to bend everything back into place. Do you feel the pain? Over.
Did it linked up on periodic like that, because otherwise you lose some of your gain. But the nice thing about the elk, too, is it's got a real broad, but you'll have to have it pointed. You could have it pointed 30 degrees away from the ISS. It still comes in just fine, and you can twist it a little easier. It's short, and it's a little heavy. As a matter of fact, I could talk to one of the guys I've talked to in Arizona a time or two on AO-27. He's got one that somebody, I don't know whether he built or somebody else did, and they replaced the PVC with carbon fiber tubing. And it lightened it up by maybe 7 or 8 ounces. 7 or 8 ounces is a lot of weight in an antenna, and just in the smaller PVC stuff. But I think he told me it's like 6 or 7 ounces lighter. And he uses a real lightweight. I use LMR 240 UF is what I usually use. It's pretty lightweight, but he uses stuff even lighter than that, since he only has about 3 feet of it. And he does it on a handheld, too. We've talked a couple of times, when AO-27's actually up and running. That's all he uses is elk, and he uses like an ICOM 2730 or something like that, or deal bander. And it's full duplex. He doesn't use anything real fancy for satellites.
JKV, that is awesome. That's a great story there, too, because we have the same antenna. With my antenna, I have tracked satellites and listened to them and got to listen to QSOs as they pass over, but I never tried to, tried to make a QSO over that, because I don't have the right HD. I guess I could do it with my HD and the elk. But my friend, Buddy Ham over there in Waynesville, North Carolina, he has a arrow antenna, has a diplexer in there, so he can do it a little better. Let me let this drop. So, yeah, I guess that's one of my next 2-meter goals, is to try to talk to somebody through a satellite, repeater. Over.
Really busy. It's kind of challenging. N4DJC for ID, by the way. It's pretty challenging because it's really busy during the daylight hours. If you can catch it early in the morning or late in the evening, and the arrow. Like I said, I have the arrow, and the arrow works really well, especially on the 440 downlink on the ISS. It's got a little bit more gain. It works a little better, but I have to put it on it's kind of unwieldy because it's so long. The elk only does a 5-element in the 2-meter 440 version. They make a 7-element in the 440, I think. But now the arrow is like 3 elements on 2, and I think it's 7. I think it's 7 or so, something like that on 440. And you can, a lot of guys, this thing drop. Use 2 radios and just buy the arrow without the diplexer in it, and just run a coax from each, because it's got 2 coax, it's got 2 connections, just run a connection from each one of the 2-meter and the 440 beam, and they run them 2 at a time, and that way they can operate full duplexes. It's real difficult. I mean, I've done it on half duplex where you can't hear your side. You can't hear yourself coming through the satellite, but you really need to hear yourself coming through the downlink to make sure you're getting through. Because otherwise, if you're not getting through the downlink, you're not. All you do is just talking to air.
Yeah, Yeah, that's why I haven't tried to do it with my radio and my antenna. I got the right antenna, but I just don't have the right radio yet. I need something with full duplex so I can listen here at the same time. But I haven't tried to track satellites in quite a while, actually probably in about a year. But there was about two straight months I was really into checking that my satellite app and seeing if we have the right degrees and what time and get out there and try to hear something, over.
ISS, it comes up real early in the morning for us and kind of late in the evening. And like I said, it's real busy. We've got a lot of guys that are getting into it now, especially a lot of new hams are trying it out. It's challenging. A lot of the guys, some of the guys, after a while you hear the same guys over and over again. But I worked in the North and South Dakota, Arizona, New York, Quebec, New York State, down to Florida, Texas. I worked in a lot of different states, but it really is challenging, though, because everybody's trying to get in at the same time. A lot of guys are calling. They can't hear the downlink because they're not full duplex, so they think they're getting in, but they're not, and they're just kind of QRMing the satellite. And of course, the serious guys have the LEO packs and the full duplex radios and running, 25, 30 watts or maybe more, and got the trackers, the elevation azimuth rotators that are tracking satellites as it crosses, and it's kind of overkill for the FM satellites. The linear satellites, the sideband ones, are a different story. I mean, let this thing drop. Require an all mode radio like an ICOM 9700 or 847 BAZ, or for an older rig or some of the older ICOMs that do that, because that linear satellite, like the Russians use the RS, I think it's the RS-44, it's upper and lower sideband, and it goes up lower sideband, but the downlink is like upper sideband, it kind of reverses itself. But it's got a bandwidth where you're not on one frequency. You can move off frequency and carry on a conversation, have a regular conversation with somebody, and of course you can talk. You can talk into Europe on that one, pretty easy depending on the path of the satellite.
4JKB, yeah, that sounds good. And like I said, I've listened to many passes of the satellites, and I just wasn't equipped to try to make a QSO. And like you said, it is crazy because everyone's trying to make a contact over that. And but I think I'm not going to buy any extra equipment to do it. I'm not going to buy a special radio or antenna with a duplexer. I'm going to try with just an HT and an antenna. And I'm just going to see if I can just do it with low budget comms, over.
Use your inexpensive handhelds for it. 5 watts will work. I mean, it's not, for the ISS, it's got a good strong signal, and its flight path is pretty low, considered to others. And it's also better, depending on where you look, it's also better going away from you, because the antenna is actually at the back of the space station. So when you first acquire the signal, it comes up over the rise, the best thing to do is just let it go past the top of the path, and just let it start. And as soon as it starts going away from you, that's when you get your best signal. And a lot of people use it just as easily as with anything else. Just find an inexpensive duplex, or you could even build one for that matter, and just run two handhelds. A lot of guys do that. I mean, it's not complicated to do it. And it does take, the biggest thing is just having a good antenna to help, because about as good as you can get, you already got the primary part of it, the radios. Like I said, it doesn't require a real sensitive radio. It just requires persistence and patience, in 4DJC for ID.
JKB. I've tracked satellites with my HD and just a WIP antenna. I just knew when the satellite was passing over. I just had a horizontal polarity with my antenna, and I could hear that satellite perfectly over. So I know if I just, with just a, you know, a Baofeng even, and an antenna, you can talk to the satellite. It's just that there's so many other stations with powerful antennas trying to make that contact. But yeah, it's amazing how you can really make contact with satellites. Over.
The radios on the chip, they have a little harder time with descents, and if they get too close to each other, if you have two of them, but otherwise, they work fine. Like I said, you can just get you a small duplexer, and that way you can use two, or if you got a full duplexer, even if you have a radio that has APRS capability, if it's got a regular TNC type, like the Kenwood, some of those, I think some of the Anytimes may have it too, but I've never heard anybody use one for satellites. But the APRS is working again now. They got a full-time APRS rig, a Kenwood rig up in there. It's in the service module, which is the Russian side, and the voice repeater is on the where the hams actually talk on the downlink is on the Columbia side, the other side. But the uplink and downlink, they work through the repeater sometimes. You just pick up the microphone and work through the repeater sometimes, but they also will talk on that 2 meter frequency, which is, if you can put an odd split on the Yaesu, which I think you can, you might be able to catch one sometimes if you hear them on that 800 downlink.
JB, yeah, thanks for sharing all that. With the satellite stuff, I'm definitely going to do it. And I had a question. Oh, I wanted to ask you, what HT do you use?
When I use something, the HTs I've used in the past is I use the Kenwood D72, which is full duplex. And sometimes I have used I've got an ICOM 705 QRP, all mode, all band rig. And sometimes I've got an ICOM 52A handheld and use it up for the uplink, the 2 meter uplink, and use the 705 for the downlink for the 400, 436-800 downlink, because I can tune it as it goes down. Now, this Yaesu I'm talking on now is a full duplex radio, just a mobile rig, and it only does 5 kc at a time. Now, the ICOM, I can tune it as fine as I want to, so I can track it, but I don't have any tracking software to control the rig, and which you can do you can do it with that rig, but it's really not necessary for the ISS, because it's 5 kc at a time is plenty enough. Now, like I said, I know guys that do it with Baofengs and all kinds of stuff. It doesn't take a sophisticated radio. It just takes, if you're working two handhelds, it takes coordination.
JKB, yeah, I hear that. And you got a good antenna there, and you got an excellent radio also with a lot of power. So that's the whole battle, really. Yeah, good ears and a good scream. And question for you, but let me think about that. If anyone else out there wants to chime in, go ahead. KO4JKB. JKB, N4DJC, did they get your call sign right?
For sure it did. What question did you have?
How do you have your elk antenna mounted?
It's probably the beam itself is set up about 4 feet off the floor. I've got it mounted on a PVC pipe, and I've got a little T at the bottom there, and I've got it's like a 5-way T, and I got mine just mounted with a PVC at the bottom, about 12 inches on each side for the stand. And that's what I've used basically for the last probably 3 years, I guess. I've tried other stuff, but the elk are so easy. And, If I want to dismantle it, it takes about 10 minutes to take it apart. But I don't take the elements off, Doug, because I don't have to. I've got plenty of room where I can just stick it in a closet like you were talking about. But I can dismantle it in about 5 or 10 minutes, I guess. You can mount them on tripods, but I don't. And I've got a tripod. And I've used the air on the tripod, and that works pretty good. But you're kind of restricted. It's hard to, you have to be able to twist the antenna as a Doppler, because as it's going through, you got your Doppler shift, you're dealing with your frequency is changing. But also the polarity on some of the satellites tumble, so the polarity changes. Now, the space station, it doesn't tumble like that. It's just going straight across the sky, but occasionally you may have to move it, 90 degrees one way or the other to get a better signal, but they run about 25 watts down, and a lot of these satellites only run a quarter of a watt, so they got a big signal coming down.
Just thinking about that antenna, because the elements, it's a kind of made to be a portable antenna, so you can take the elements off, put them back on, and all the elements are color coded with tape. And there was a couple times where the tape was getting loose, so I said, I do not want this tape to come off, because I want to get the antenna right. I super glued it all back and taped it and super glued it so I could remember. Did you have that problem over?
My mind loosened up a little. Started, the elements, if one of the elements gets loose, it doesn't do well. So what I did is a Vibratite 3, and you can use that. It's kind of like a, it's not like Loctite. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a gummy deal, and it'll keep them tight. But I've tried that on them, and I didn't like that. But so I just used purple Loctite on mine and locked them down so they don't loosen up. Because like I said, I mean, I can still tighten them by hand, but they don't get loose, because they'll get loose over time if you don't use something on them. But that purple Loctite, I think it's 240, and maybe 242. It's not the blue, it's the purple. It's the lightest, it's one of the lightest. It doesn't require anything other than just hand tightening, but it'll keep it secure and keep from loosening it up without being impossible to take apart.
AV, that all makes sense. And I was just getting ready to say that with the elk antenna, when I take the elements off and on, sometimes I'd leave it out, sometimes in the winter for like a week and a half, I'd pull it back in, get it, dry with a hair dryer, and I'd re-lubricate the contact points with sewing machine oil. Don't do 2-in-1 oil, over.
It's aluminum, it's not going to, because all this, it's using air shafts. It's just a different, it's just the black shafts instead of the purple. It's like the air using, but still, there's an Easton air shaft that they use. They use inserts just like you used to put fill points on arrows for archery. I like the elk. The elk is basically, the guy makes them himself, I think. The guy lives out. I think he lives in California. He either makes himself or has somebody else there. But it's not some big production line deal. And I had to wait on mine about 2 months because they were just behind making them when I ordered mine.
JO4JKV. Yeah, I haven't been shopping for 2 meter. I've been. I got HF fever. I've been every day, morning when I wake up, way before my wife. I'm just spinning the dial, seeing what's out there. I'm really gotten bitten by the bug. You do much HF, over?
You see, well, I haven't worked in HF in quite a few years. I was real active in HF when I started back in the late 70s. And, life kind of got in the way. And now I'm in a location now where probably likely I could put a MR antenna like an infit out, but I don't think I'd have a very good look because I'm really down in a hole and I got power lines on three sides of it. I think the noise level might be too high. I do have HF capability, but I probably won't do anything. I'm still just sticking to my VHF, UHF, satellite stuff, and I'm working some of the digital modes like Fusion and D-Star.
I understand about the logistics. Where I live, I have really limited. I have zero yard. I have a deck, and I got neighbors. But I think if you did want to get the HF and antenna up and have some fun, I would just say go with a simple vertical. And the one I could really recommend is the Buddy Stick Pro. And it's super simple, and there's Wolf River Coil, and there's a few others. But if you ever want to talk about antennas and to get you back on the HF, you just send me an email, over.
I used a vertical. That's where I worked. I had a vertical mounted up about 30 feet, and when I lived in Rock Hill, and I didn't get my DXCC, but I probably worked about 85 countries. I ran 5 watts most of the time, but the bands were really open then. But after I moved, I lived in that apartment. We're in an apartment complex. My wife is a manager, but the folks that owned it let me put the antenna up, and I ran a Hustler, and also eventually wound up getting a Cushcraft, I think it was an R3, and it was a tunable vertical, had a tunable variable capacitor. It was powered, and it would tune it to 10, 15, or 20 meters. But I could work, 10 or 15 meters in the morning. I could work Japan, Australia, just about anything on 5 or 10 watts, and 100 watts was more than enough to work a lot of European stations. But I just didn't. I ran out of time. I got busy. Work took over, and that was pretty much it. Then when I moved in the neighborhood where I really couldn't put up an antenna. We've been here almost 30 years now, and I just don't, in my age, I'm not sure if I'm going to, I may try an infed wire at some point in time, but I'll probably just stick to what I'm doing for the time being. But I appreciate it. A lot of these things have come out lately, and especially for the portable rigs like I've got, and a lot of people like infeds, they like to link dipoles and the verticals, the Buddy Stick and the Wolf Coil stuff, Wolf River Coil stuff. So there's a lot of stuff out there for portal operation. But if you can get a decent vertical out, get some radios out, you got a pretty good antenna for DX.
You seem to know what you're talking about when it comes to antennas. But, get back on to HF, and I know that tuning around the bands with, a portable antenna is hard. So maybe just find a nice infed half wave and leave it on 20, and you're just working on 20. But it was awesome talking to you, and try to search us up here at Spivey Mountain repeater. And they have nets every Monday night, 8 o'clock. This is KO4JKV.
KV, N4DJC, Ducky, you have a great evening. Great talking to you. I haven't spoken to you directly in a while, and I'm glad to see you're getting interested in HF. It's really fascinating. You'll get a lot out of that. Ham radio is like that. You just peel off layer after layer. There's always something new to try out. Have a good night. Have a great weekend. Great talking to you again. N4DJC, Zep3.
Roger that. Thanks again, Jerry. N4DJC, KO4JKV. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good night.